So tonight's talk, Happiness and the Root Causes of Happiness. Here we are at Asheville Inside Meditation. AIM, as we call it. And we typically think of AIM in associating it to a verb, to intend or direct for a particular effect or purpose, often as in to aim for a target. So what are we aiming for here in this practice, here at AIM? This is one of those references that I don't have a source. It's been said that a wise man or woman uses weapons only when he or she must and mourns the victory in sorrow. So here at AIM, we strive for do no harm to self or others. This is our practice. We can see the way of nature. Everything coexists beautifully. The ocean adds to the beauty of the sunset. The trees give color to the mountains. Coexistence. When we live in this way, all life prospers. There's wisdom in coming to a place of truth with ourselves and with others, choosing not to reside in a state of fear, of manipulation, of control, of portraying ourselves as victim and manipulating that and contorting to allow ourselves to be the abuser. Shakespeare reminds us that to thy own self be true. And enter our foundational morality practices here today. So we all know sila, we've heard this term, from the Pali in Buddhism, speaks of morality or right conduct and comprises three stages along the Eightfold Path. So right speech, right action, right livelihood. So just coming from that place of do right. Do the right thing. Of course, there's also wisdom, panya, meditation, concentration, samadhi. We have the five precepts where we refrain from or undertake the training to avoid harm, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, harmful speech, could be lying, idle speech, slander. Do not assert with your mouth what your heart denies. And there's also harm in silence, as we know. Refrain from intoxicants that cloud the mind and cause heedlessness, basically showing reckless lack of attention. So that's what we aim for in this practice, is having some concept of causality. And with this guidance, we're invited to be happy. There is happiness without a hangover. Altered traits, not altered states. So the precepts allow us to come to an understanding of root causes, and in understanding what causes suffering, we can infer what causes happiness. We all know the horror of death by poisoning. There's so many: cyanide, arsenic, mustard gas, ricin, sarin, all of these different poisons. Atrocities against mankind or womankind. But there are also neurotoxins that we readily feed on a regular basis, often called defilements or kilesas, literally translated as torments of the mind. These poisons. So the Buddha was pointing to poisons of greed, hatred, delusion, in giving us a way out, a prescription, a remedy to diagnose, to treat, to cure, and to prevent through acts of generosity and compassion and cultivating wisdom. So here's one example. This device that I have in front of me right now, this is a new process for me, something that I've been very averse to. I've been without a television since December 31st of 1999. I've not had a personal computer since 2010. I have a work laptop, I have a smartphone, but this is something different. This piece of technology is a gateway drug, in my opinion. Another screen, which screens we think of concealing or possibly showing. So very deep in contemplation for me to think of, is this something that I need to simplify my life, to serve me as a tool? And just thinking of how we are investing in the watch browse history that is being cached within our browsers here. Are we living in a secretive, deceitful way behind these screens? This is not happiness. This is not even reality. This is ones and zeros. It's just some binary code that we're interacting with. There's so much here. Cyberbullying, which defilement is hatred, fraud, greed, pornography, delusion, and so much more, yes? Exploitation, objectification. I ran across a couple of statistics that said apparently someone wasn't male friendly because they were targeting the men in these statistics. But it said that 60% of US males engage in pornography at least once per month. And that 9% of males engage or admitted to 10 to 20 hours per week of pornography through these screens. 1 in 7 teens have shared inappropriate photos and have had sexual chat with a stranger. 1 in 7 teens. So cookies used to be a yummy thing, I think. But apparently now 70% of us fear that we've shared too much. We can think of much of this in a general sense as a dishonorable discharge of what we're just spilling out, exploding onto the world with, behind these screens. Greed, hatred, delusion, an absence of ethics and morality. This isn't for me to preach, it's to get to a point. So, is this the undertaking of the training of doing no harm? Is this happiness? Is this our aim? As an example. So there's a cost paid or benefit derived from our actions, our intentions, karma. Henry David Thoreau is quoted as saying, "The price of anything is the amount of life you exchange for it." There's actually a University of Queensland, Australia study that concluded that every single hour of TV watched may shorten our lives by as much as 22 minutes because of all of these different factors that they equate into it. So we can hit the refresh button. in choosing another view, a different action, something that's skillful, something that's wholesome in how we live our lives, just as one limited example. But clearing the built-up cache from our browsers is a practice. This is our aim. It takes work. I'll just share intention and attention. At 19 years old, I was in the first Gulf War as a paratrooper. I know what dirty is, I know what war is, and I know what peace is. And I know that war plus war does not equal peace. So it's important how we show up and being engaged of what we, how we choose to make a difference in the world. Can you feel in me referencing having been in a war and all of that trauma and all of that fear of uncertainty, even more fear in coming home than staying, because I was conditioned to be in that space, to be in that energy that felt safe, being dirty and distant versus coming home and being perceived as something different, something that was a mechanism of harm maybe in some way. So can you be comfortable in standing in the presence of my pain in me sharing? Of course you can, because we all share in this human condition. We all wear our own combat patches of the trauma, the lesions that have been torn into our hearts. We all know this pain. So the everyday practice is to simply develop a complete acceptance and openness to all situations and emotions and to all life, all experience being fully allowed without mental reservations or blockages, so that you never withdraw or centralize into yourself. The Tao Lao Tzu, supposedly, is known for the words, "When I let go of who I am, I become who I might be." So we can soften these stories. As has been said, the only thing that you truly, truly have to heal is the present moment. Get this right and the whole picture falls into one of harmony and peace and happiness. We can strive to soften all those places that are rigid within our minds and our hearts. For a long time, I have chosen to propagate myself in a different way. So I don't know what commercials are. I don't watch them unless I'm at a restaurant and there's a TV in my face or something. So I have messages that are written and posted throughout my world. Examples, maybe I open the refrigerator and there's a post-it that says sustenance, or any number of compassion, different little things that are around the house that I'll notice from time to time, but maybe are in my consciousness that I don't even recognize or read. Signs that surround, come down the stairs, I see follow your bliss. With the earth as my witness, I am deserving, which is said to have been the Buddha's last struggle with Mara before enlightenment, the Lord of Desire, this final tempter. I'll be gender neutral. So yeah, where we can see that our eyes are beginning to shine again and removing some of those obscurations. I have a mirror that I dress with, trying to put on the big boy pants and tie, that says, I am determined not to cover up loneliness, anxiety, fear, or other suffering by losing myself in consumption. So it is important how we align ourselves with what we put inside ourselves. A morning gratitude practice, immediately rolling over and stretching, coming to a place of gratitude. Reflections during the morning drive and afternoon drive. Just this amazing life that we have. I often hear people that are strongly averse to the weather. I just can't get past the fact that we have weather at all. It's as if we're a grain of sand on an endless beach that bounces between the turbulence of multiple simultaneous storms, complete with rotation and translation and a wobble on multiple levels. You can't be fully present if you're wanting things to be different than they are. So beyond the mind and the body, the mind and the emotions, there's the body. We all know the value of stretching, of exercise, of yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, where we can move and we can clear those toxins, we can balance and we can ground, we can heal that energetic vibration. But it also matters how we fuel ourselves. Clean water, food whose flesh is not defined in trauma. This just brings more suffering, more unhappiness on an energetic level. Silence, moment of silence, wow. There's a nutritionist I found that had a quote that said, food doesn't have ingredients. So just healthiness. Realizing also that I'm bigger than this body. I'm bigger than my stories. And possibly I'm even bigger than this lifetime. And again, we have such privileged lives, most often flawed in these views of victimizations, oftentimes, where we're simply in a cyclic pattern, possibly lifetimes deep. Not embracing these lessons that allow us to understand, to grow, and to move on. But oftentimes we'll use those as mechanisms of enabling ourselves to be in a state of pity or pushing away from things that are important, contorting, manipulating, becoming abuser in unhealthy relationships. So I believe that with unfailing kindness, life always presents what we need to learn. Pema Chodron is quoted as saying, the essence of bravery is being without self-deception. This is the work of warriors, this practice. Turning towards it and facing it with a bow, inviting it in for tea, and saying, there is wood to chop and water to carry. Let's get it done. Wayne Dyer, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So we can tilt our head ever so slightly and we can see life brand new. So I have just a few things I'd like to share with you guys in my view of happiness. Live in accordance with the great way of do no harm. I said do no harm.
Okay.
cultivate a life that includes concentrated mindfulness and being contemplative artists of the gifts of this precious human birth. Learn and live the Dharma. This is some juicy stuff this guy laid down, right? Serve with selfless intent, not to be the change that you simply wish to see in the world, but the change that's needed, appropriate to the situation. Matter. Believe in the importance of your presence in choosing to be in each moment. Let the beauty we love be what we do. And how we define our lives in writing the many chapters that remain. See clearly, live wisely. This is like my mantra. It's actually my email address. Wholesome intent. Have faith in purpose. It's not in the way, it is the way. Learn what happiness is by clearly discerning what is suffering and not do that. An easy practice is noticing. Noticing the quality of your breath, how we're holding tension, the state of our emotions, the state of our thoughts, and most obvious, the state of our actions. Again, don't hide behind or get lost within screens that shroud or consume your life and keep you from happiness. You can feel the difference when you set it down or walk away and walk into the woods. You can feel the difference. There's a different energetic vibration. So just a few more reflections. In cultivating our inner landscape, how do we mend and tend from the place that we intend? What is our intention? Reflecting on the inclinations of the mind, realize that a mind inwardly at peace does not thirst to delight in the suffering of others or align itself with fear. This is why I see so few movies and don't watch television. That's not happiness. Happiness is not laughter at the expense of other people. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't make me happy. I can just speak from my experience. Activism is a noun. Consider your way of being and how you show up. What are you bringing? War plus war does not equal peace. Deepa Ma, Buddhist master, don't be lazy. Strive on untiringly for your liberation. And loosen your grip on strongly held stories, these scripted, templated responses that we have. Are they even valid anymore? I would say invite forgiveness and healing. Allow others the freedom to be released from that grip. And in my opinion, for me personally, that also includes those that have moved on. To let people that have passed, for me, be free in not needing to hold them back. Turn off, tune in. Celebrate this precious human birth. And I would say, take care in what you choose, what we choose to take refuge in. So we know these jewels of community and Dharma and Buddha, but oftentimes we take refuge in things that are familiar and comfortable to us, that are truly just defined in more suffering. That's not happiness. Sir Isaac Newton said that, "I've only seen further than others because I've stood on the shoulders of giants." This community, there's so many giants here that I bow to deeply. So much wisdom. So we all stand on the shoulders of giants. It's such a privileged life that we have to be able to remove some of these things that keep us from happiness. It's always with us. We just have to tilt our head ever so slightly. I would say strive to see every experience as friend, lover, and teacher. Leslie Odom Jr. reflects that follow what you love, and eventually those things that you love, and I mean love as a verb, will love you back. More ramblings. Live life with an open heart. Erase judgment from your thoughts. Live with compassion and practice understanding. Keep in mind that everyone may be doing the very best that they can with where they're at in that moment. If they knew better, they would do better. Therefore, be gentle. Now, practice that same gentleness with ourselves. Knowing that you may be doing the best that you can in every situation, honor yourself with compassion and patience. I don't have a name, I just have 13th century Buddhist sage that taught, if one lights a fire for others, it will also brighten one's own way. So that's what we do. We model something that is wholesome and ethical and honest and doesn't cause harm. And really, choosing something that is softer, maybe, than what we've done in our lives. Something that's more flexible, more patient, more forgiving, less fearful, less closed, more open. So this is my take on happiness. Is there's so many teachings that are available to us, but it's basic premises of do no harm and come from a place of love and realizing that there is a price that we pay for the intention that we bring forward. So where is that place that we're showing up from? Is it a place that's bringing struggle to a cause? Or is it a place that shows up from peace as the cause? And just remember that you're always surrounded by love. Even though you may not see it, you can feel it when you come into this space. When you have your heart open and you smile at the cashier and she sees you, seeing her, it's always there. And that's happiness, in my humble opinion. So thank you for letting me share.